the locker room is almost always like this, because even when we are down, you know, we're not emotionally down.
College football. Wisconsin signed 24 new recruits, but has over a dozen, including wide receiver Trek Kakahuna, entering the transfer portal. Luke Fickell on getting new players to commit despite a losing season.
Let's be honest, it's pretty easy for people out there to say, well, why would you want to do that? They're going to go right back to doing what they did before. But if people believe and trust in you, then they'll have some blind faith.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low of 5 to 10. And a mix of sun and clouds for your Friday afternoon, a high in the mid-20s. Warmer for the weekend and a partly sunny sky, high in the upper 30s for Saturday, mid-40s for Sunday. Right now it's 22.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on how Donald Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts can damage our independent judiciary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Melissa Kay. This week on Community Stories Jr., I interviewed Benjamin Peters. He's the mastermind behind the new CAD Fab Lab at Alexander Middle School in Nakusa. He's seen fabrication laboratories across the world and worked to create one right here in central Wisconsin. Not only is this the first CAD Fab Lab at the middle school level in the state, it's likely the first of its kind in the entire U.S. Each student in the class has their own 3D printer, and Mr. Peters has a vision of introducing students to an advanced way of thinking about manufacturing. By giving them the tools to quickly create and produce products, he believes this will give those inclined the ability to identify problems and create solutions. Throughout the conversation with Mr. Peters, we'll hear from the 6th through 8th graders in his class and their opinions on which local businesses they're looking forward to working with and favorite projects they've made so far. And now here's Community Stories Junior with special guest, Mr. Benjamin Peters. I'm Melissa Kay, and this is Community Stories, and I'm here with Benjamin Peters. He is the technology teacher for the Nakusa School District, and Benjamin, I'd like you to tell me about what you're doing with the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade classes here at Alexander Middle School.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Peters. Nice to talk to you guys. So this year at Alexander Middle School in Nakusa School District, we have implemented a program called the CAD Fab Lab. CAD stands for Computer Aided Design. Fab Lab stands for Fabrication Laboratory. This is a variation of the more well-known fabrication laboratories or Fab Labs around the world. Ours is focusing on computer-aided design and how it can play into applications for 3D printing or additive manufacturing. And so our lab has, at the middle school here, has 20 3D printers and 20 workstations. So each student has access to their own 3D printer, own individual 3D printer that they can use to achieve the day's assignments.
Now I asked the students what they thought about the CAD Fab Lab, starting with the 6th graders. How is this classroom different from your other classrooms?
It's more quieter in there, and then kind of louder in my other ones.
How about you, Piper?
It's more, like, modern looking and kind of a bit darker.
And more futuristic.
Well, there's more advanced technology in here. There's not really tables, but if the same stuff was in our classrooms, it'd probably look similar.
It's different because it's a little bit smaller, and other classrooms have working tables and areas for you to sit.
Do you think that you interact with students different in this classroom versus other classrooms?
Yeah, we don't really interact with others when we're printing and working on the Tinkercad.
Now, I'm here with some 7th graders. How is this CAD Fab Lab different from your other classrooms?
Because it has 3D printers and a lot of computers for everybody to use. You can talk to people about how you made your thing or what color it was or kind of like that.
I think this classroom, there's a lot more technology, obviously, but I feel like you learn like more and you're not doing the same thing every single day.
Well, you're using your computer way more often for like Tinkercad and stuff, but you also are using the 3D printers.
Well, it's very different, which makes it unique because, like, take my advisory room, for example. It's not as big, but my advisory room is so big. But then the CAD Fab Lab has, like, a whole bunch of 3D printers, and then it's just really inspiring to see, like, how to make it and stuff.
When asked how this classroom is different than others, here's how some of the 8th graders responded.
It's fun. You get to do more of your own things at your own speed.
It has a lot more devices in it, like computers and the 3D printers.
It has more complex and a lot more intricate devices in it.
There's big printers everywhere because of the 3D printers, and then we are all put together in rows, not really rows, but like the sections that we have. Because you just have like your little own corner and like you have to ask to get up, of course, and move around.
Well, in the other classrooms you do like actual work, and this one you just do like print stuff.
How would you rate it on the fun scale?
Like a 7.
That's a pretty good rating.
Usually our assignments are focusing on local businesses, and so we will go out to the business, for example, Piggly Wiggly or Beaver's Dime Store or Domtar, and we will ask them what are their needs, what are their wants, what kinds of products would they think would sell in their businesses, what kinds of products would their employees like, and we'll design them a keychain, a pen holder. For Beaver's Dime Store, we designed a pocket calendar, and the students will take that assignment and design projects on their computers. They use free available software available through Autodesk, something called Tinkercad. And Tinkercad is a simple program where they can drag shapes together, merge them, copy them, rotate them. And with these designs, they can print them on their own high-speed 3D printer. And when I say high-speed 3D printer, this is actually something I've been looking for a long time in my own research. I've studied 3D printing in the industry for about 15 years. And for a long time, for the last, I would say, 20 years, 3D printing has been commercialized towards the everyday person. Starting in roughly 2006, 2007, there was a big push toward making 3D printing available for the consumer. Up until that point, it was only available for big companies. And so there's this explosion of interest in 3D printing, but those printers kind of fell short in terms of their speed at which they can print. I've been waiting for an event like this to happen, we finally found a printer that was quick enough to print a small part within a class period, which is anywhere from 40 to 50 minutes. So all the projects they do in class can be finished by the end of the period. They can take their parts home, and the printers are then used for the next period. So theoretically, with an 8-period day, the printers could produce 160 parts over the course of the day. And those are all individual designs that the students come up with. And at the next class period, or the next day in the class, the students will design something new.
Now I ask the 6th graders about what they've been printing. So tell me about some projects that you've printed over the last week or so. Did you have any favorites?
Yeah, my favorite was the pumpkin and the crown. Because the pumpkin, it was, like, cool to watch because, like, the inside was kind of, like, hollow. Mm. And the crown, like it went around in circles and it went really fast. And it was just cool to watch.
How about you, Kip?
The crown is one of them, too. And the pumpkin, too, because if you touch the crown, like, the pumpkin on, like, the sides, it's really smooth.
It's cool.
What color did you print your pumpkin?
My pumpkin, I think it was, like, that light blue that I showed you last time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Michael? Did you have any favorite projects?
My favorite was when we had to 3D print our lizards, when we had the free time to do it.
So you picked the lizard?
I actually did a velociraptor, like, thing that you put together, but it's just stuck together, so I don't know how to take it apart.
Oh, so you haven't assembled it yet?
Yeah.
So over the last week, we worked on the pumpkin, catapult, 8 ghosts. Right now we're making a car with wheels. We have to attach the wheels to the car, like 5 parts.
We printed a catapult, 8 ghosts, and a pumpkin. The pumpkin's probably my favorite just because it is Halloween and fall season. So the way it's laid out for the pumpkin, it's like it starts off like a circle, and then there's like indents in it like a pumpkin looks like. And the stem just goes straight up. It doesn't curve. I printed mine this, like, bluish purple, and then I traded for a grayish silver.
Nice. So you sometimes trade projects with other kids that have a different color that you like better?
Yeah, there's a lot of different color filament, so it all kind of depends on, like, what color we like best and if they want to trade or not.
I suppose the printers print them all identical, don't they?
Yeah. Like for 8 ghosts, I think I have one white ghost because that's the color I printed, and then I traded the rest off for different colors.
Oh, so you have a whole cadre of ghosts that are all different colors?
Yeah.
Okay, Michaela, do you have any favorite projects that you've printed this last week?
I printed 8 ghosts, and we're painting a turtle today, and I love turtles so much. They're so adorable. I forgot what else we printed this week. Well, we printed a pumpkin this week, or was it last week? But I wasn't here for it.
So are you hoping for a free day so you can print a pumpkin?
Yep.
How about you, Piper?
My favorite is the one we're printing right now, the turtle.
I think my favorite project was the turtle because it has, like, all these unique features, and, like, it being printed, it's fun to watch it because it has to, like, go in different places because the turtle is... It's, like, weird because the head and the body and the fins and everything, they're all different, like, sizes and heights is different, too, so it's fun watching it print.
All right, what do you think, Jackson?
Turtle.
Why the turtle?
Because it has very cool designs, and it's just a very cool animal. Turtle.
Fair enough. All right. Now, I'm here with some 7th graders, and we're going to talk about the projects that you've printed over this last week. Lydia, can you tell me about your favorite project so far?
I made a wiener dog. I think it might have been yesterday. That was one of my favorites.
How about you, Damien?
I made an axolotl from Minecraft.
From Minecraft? So it was different than the other segmented lizards I've seen?
Yes. It was like a block.
We were printing a dragon and a couple other things.
What color did you print your dragon?
Silver.
Were you happy with how it turned out?
Yeah.
How about you, Kaden?
I had a pumpkin that was gold, and it probably took around 20 minutes because it kept going in a circle and circle, circle.
I made a pumpkin, plain white. It went fast because it went in a circle and took maybe 20 minutes.
So this last time, we had a free day, so we got to print whatever we want as long as it was under 30 minutes. And what I printed was an axolotl. So it was like a Minecraft axolotl, and the whole body moved. I printed it in my favorite color, pale blue.
So tell me about some of the favorite projects that you've printed, Jordan.
Well, I printed a car, which was one of my favorites, and we're printing a turtle, which would be my other top favorite.
The 8th graders talked about their projects in some detail.
I printed a pumpkin, which I thought was pretty cool. It started as like a circle, like a flat circle kind of thing. And then it started like rounding the like
edges kind of to make it into a pumpkin. And then right when it was about done, it made like a little like indent, and then it made like a little line for the stem.
So we've done like bolts, and today we got to pick whatever we wanted, and we did like a phone stand, I think, last week. So we've been doing some prints on the micro SD card. So I don't remember all of them, but there's some really good ones that stand out.
What are you printing today?
Today I'm printing a flexible dragon for the free day, so it's kind of cool. I picked a like light blue.
One of my projects that I enjoyed was this flexible wiener dog that could wiggle.
How about you, Caden?
One of my favorite ones that I did today, actually it's printing right now, it's a crown, and I made it white.
We've just been printing small stuff, stuff you can fidget with, stuff you can use in your daily life. And my favorite one would be like this little card that we made that spins and makes like a ticking noise like a fidget toy.
How about you, Drew?
I printed a little octopus once. It was pretty cool. A cartoon one.
I really liked doing the ghost with the legs because it was really cool how it, like, you could like lift it up and then there was legs that came out.
What color did you print yours?
It was like a light blue.
Probably the hammerhead shark. It was light blue. It took about 30 minutes to print. It was like one of the shaky little fidget ones.
I made my mom like this flexible dinosaur thing that she can like play with in her pocket because she used to have one, but then it broke.
We're glad you're here for Community Stories Junior on WFHR. Stick around. We'll be right back with the continuation of the story. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
Welcome back to Community Stories. I'm Melissa Kay, and I'm here with Benjamin Peters. When we left off, we were talking about the local businesses that you partner with for this technology class. Let's talk about those local businesses a little bit and how the partnership with you works with you and them.
Yeah. So last year, I went around to local businesses, basically knocking on doors and explaining our program and what we're doing here, and if that business wanted to have an active relationship with the student projects we're doing here. Basically, what we need is a business who is interested in seeing production from the students, being a target for our design projects, or donating time, materials, or investing in our program. Some of our current partners that we've reached out to that have positively responded as our ongoing partners are TCR Incorporated, Mitotech Precision, Point Precision, WFHR Radio, Domtar Corporation, Align Energy, Nakusa Community Center, Beaver's Dime Store, Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa, Nakusa Lions Club, Jacoby Custom Cubes, Foley's Nita Brew, Murphy's On-Site RV Repair, and Heartland Custom Homes. A few of these businesses have sponsored field trips for us, and many or all of them have been the targets of our design projects, and some of them remain on our target as design projects this year. So if you heard your business on that list, you're in the target for us. Having local businesses be a design target for our students is helpful for their own trajectory. They get to see just how many businesses are active in their community. One of my assignments is listing every single business in Nakusa. There's over 300 businesses. I put them all in a giant spreadsheet, and the students can pick one they haven't heard of, do some research on it, and come up with a product for them. And generally, this is pretty successful. A lot of them pick McDonald's for some reason. It's just a very common one for the kids to know. Around Christmas time, we make a lot of ornaments for local businesses, and many of them are distributed to those businesses as well. Making paperweights has been a popular item for the students as well. It's easy for them to visualize and understand. We had a creative project last year where a student made a wonderful Piggly Wiggly ornament, and we gave it to the store owner. And having these businesses visit us and us visiting them, if possible, is all part of the learning experience, where they can see the context of their designs at the site they designed it for. So delivering a finished product to Domtar is a great experience for a student to have, where they see the people they're affecting with their design. And it's not just an exercise in a classroom. This is an actual thing that we're doing for real people and real businesses. And I want them to see this ongoing through their design development, where they can go through the world and see problems and see solutions in their own mind and create them quickly on their computers and develop them with any kind of fabrication equipment that they have access to. One of the easy ones that we've given them is these 3D printers to use.
Now I ask the students which businesses they're looking forward to working with this year, starting with the sixth graders.
What business would you pick, Piper?
Jacoby Custom Cues.
And what would you design for them?
I would design like little gibbets you can put on the little poles.
Whatever the RV repair is, cabinets.
You would 3D print cabinets for them?
Yeah. Shelves too.
What business would you want to work with, Lillian?
Probably Beaver's Dime Store.
And what would you want to make for them?
I don't know, probably like a variety of stuff, maybe.
So like novelty items that you could sell, like miniature figures, or what do you think?
Yeah, like miniature figures or like stuff like that people can like put on like display at their house or something.
How about you, Michael?
Probably for Walmart, because how much stuff they have to get to sell stuff.
So what kind of items do you think you could 3D print for Walmart?
Probably like a 3D printed couch, a 3D printed Walmart sign.
Okay, a sign might be good. Do you think a couch 3D printed would be very comfortable?
No, it's going to be hard.
So maybe like a miniature one for a dollhouse?
Yeah.
So if there's a business that you could partner with, what would it be, Lilia?
Maybe like NASA or something, because I would like to make like different 3D printing things that would help build like different things in NASA and build things that they can use to make different things.
So you'd use the 3D printer to build their prototypes that they could then use to build the products that they wanted to make?
Yeah.
How about you, Kip?
My dad said I'm a really good, what is it called when you build, like you make blueprints for buildings?
Architect?
Yeah, architect. He said I would be really good at architect because at his job, they have a 3D printer and I like to build stuff from there and I build with wood. And I don't know if there's so construction basically.
Mm-hmm. So you would partner with a construction project, and what do you think that you would 3D print for them that would help with their business?
I would probably 3D print a mini house so then they can add stuff and take stuff off to see if it's good or not.
So it'd be like a model to show prospective clients?
Yeah.
A Walmart sign.
Well, that's perfect. What colors would you make it?
Yellow, white, and blue.
SpaceX.
Okay, what would you design for SpaceX?
A really tall rocket.
How do you think SpaceX would respond to your giant rocket you printed for them?
They'd think it would be cool and they would give me all their money.
Well, that would be nice. How about you, Colin?
I would like to design a sign for Nakusa Auto Care. They'd probably say thanks and probably appreciate what I made for them.
Now, some of the seventh graders got to work with local businesses last year, so we'll hear about that and who they're hoping to work with this year.
Did you design a product for a local business last year?
Yes, we were like designing, so we picked out like a company and we got to like design something for it.
Okay, what business did you want to work with this year if you had to pick?
I'd probably choose Paper City Bank.
What would you design for them?
I could make them their logo, or I could like print some like money for them.
Print some money? So like some plastic money?
Yeah.
What color would you print it?
Probably green.
And if you made them a sign, what would the sign look like or what would it say?
It would probably say Paper City Savings Bank.
Would it be a big sign that could be put outside or like maybe at their desk? What kind of sign are you thinking?
Probably like a stand-up sign that you can like put on your desk, because I don't think I can make one that big to like hang outside.
You'd have to do it in parts, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Lydia, did you design a product for a local business last year?
I did. It was for, I think it was a homeless shelter, and it was a house with a little heart in the middle.
How did they respond to that?
I'm not sure how they responded, but I'm sure they would have liked it if they seen it.
So what business are you thinking you want to work with this year?
I think Piggly Wiggly would be fun.
Do you have any ideas about products maybe you'd make for them?
Normally at Piggly Wiggly, they have little keychains, and I was thinking they're just normal rectangles now, and I'm thinking it'd be fun if it was shaped like a pig.
So that's their pig card, right?
The pig card, yeah.
I did beavers.
What did you design for them?
I designed a sign that says Candyland Beavers.
Awesome. What did they think of it?
They thought it was good.
I would probably want to make some ornaments for like trees and stuff out of tech ed stuff.
Okay. Think about a business that you go to or your parents take you to that you think maybe would be fun to create an ornament for.
Well, I love Applebee's, so I think we should bring in a tree for them and like place down tons of like tech ed ornaments.
So with a company like Applebee's, what kind of Christmas ornament would you make them?
An apple and a bee.
That would be perfect. How do you think they would react to that kind of gift?
Probably laugh a bit because of the joke.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Probably Dollar General. I'll probably design kind of like a little store.
Like a mini model of a store?
Yeah. So I designed something for Beaver's Dime Store. I made a beaver. It looks like a beaver. And then I made it to like so it could fit on your shirt as a pin. That's basically just what I did.
And what did the owner of Beavers think of it?
He thought it was pretty cool. Like, he just said thank you, and he'll have it, like, up on his desk.
So is there a business that you think you want to work with this year?
Probably Beavers again. I'll just make something different, like a dime or something.
The eighth graders have aspirations to work with some larger companies that are also a little further afield.
All right, Cameron, if you were going to design a product for a business that you like, what would the business be?
Shields in Appleton.
And what would you design for them?
Probably like something that they could use so that they didn't have to like take off things, like a thing when you grab it off the shelf so it's high.
Oh, like a grabber?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom had one of those, so it was very handy for getting things off tall shelves. And because they have a lot of, I've never been there before. Tell me what the store is like.
It's two stories high, and they have a bunch of, like, sports, fishing, hunting stuff there, and, like, outdoor stuff, and it's all, like, it's really big.
Is it easy to get lost in?
Yeah.
So maybe you could print them maps to put on the wall.
Yeah. Every time we go there, we spend, like, at least 4 hours there.
So tell me about a product that you designed for a local business last year, Carson.
So last year we did a lot of things with local businesses. We made a medallion last year, which was like a big circle, and we would put a whole bunch of detail on it, and then you would put the local business's name on there. So that one was pretty fun.
And if you could work with a local business this year, do you have one in mind that you think would be neat to work with?
Yeah, I wanted last year, we didn't get to it, but like a toy car, because then you could make the wheels move. That would have been pretty fun.
And what business would you design that for?
I probably would have designed it for, like, the McDonald's, because I committed, like, the McDonald's car, and that was my idea.
That's a good one. How do you think they would respond to that?
They probably would have liked it, because I feel like it just, like, goes with the theme.
So that would be, like, what do they call those? Happy Meal toys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to bring those back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, as an eighth grader, Adeline, is there a business that you would want to work with this year and maybe design products for as you're going through this tech ed class?
I probably would want to be like a Head Start person where like you like can design balls and stuff for the little kids so they can like learn what they're going to do.
So for like a Head Start classroom, you could design different products that the kids could use?
Yeah, like different shapes and stuff so they can like understand and learn like all like a ball, like they can understand what it is.
And how do you think a classroom would respond to items like that you printed for them?
It'd probably be really helpful because little kids, they don't like understand like shapes and stuff, so they could like learn while they're little, so then they understand with like, and it's easier for like math and stuff for when they get older.
We're glad you're here for Community Stories Junior on WFHR. Be sure to stick around for Tale Time toward the end of the hour.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Don't be a victim of a holiday scam this season. Here's Lisa Hale with more.
The most common scams people become victims of during the holidays are fake charities, gift card scams, holiday vacation scams, and look-alike online stores. Grant Wheat, the Vice President of Risk Management at Verva Credit Union, said holidays are a risky time.
The reason this is so big during the holidays is that people are just happy to give, right? This is a great time. Everybody feels rejuvenated when it's in the holidays. Everybody seems upbeat and you just want to give, right? You want to help out. Scammers take advantage of that.
Wheat encourages consumers to slow down, talk to someone they trust, and look for red flags such as spelling, grammar, and odd email addresses or contact methods before acting on anything that seems too good to be true.
World AIDS Day was earlier this week. People living with HIV still face lots of stigma, adding to their burden. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
About 7,400 Wisconsinites are HIV positive. The number of newly diagnosed people hit a 10-year high in recent years. But treatment has come a long, long way. According to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, 94% of people got care services they need within 3 months of their diagnosis. HIV and AIDS have been massively stigmatized since they were first discovered in the 80s, which harms the people who need help and support, according to Boston University social scientist Anthony Petro.
When you think about public health itself, it is the application of medicine to a public, and that depends upon us knowing who the public is that we care about.
When they weren't getting support from the government, local activists helped advance the awareness movement.
There was no funding for treatment and prevention until researchers learned it was a virus. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If it's huge blockbusters or holiday films you're looking for in theaters this weekend, you will have to see films that are already released. But if you're not ready to throw yourself into the world of holiday films just yet, or are in the mood for some offbeat, quirky flicks, this could be your weekend. Comedy sci-fi Y2K rolls out Friday and takes us back to 1999 when the world was in a panic over what would happen when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. The film follows two high schoolers who crash a New Year's Eve party and end up fighting for their lives. If you're in the mood for a Lou Diamond Phillips movie, and who isn't, check out the horror film Werewolves, which also stars Frank Grillo, but has not yet been reviewed. So beware. If you're looking for a comedy horror, the film Night opens this week in wide release as well. The film stars Amy Adams playing a mom who takes time off work to stay home with her kids, but finds herself turning into a dog. I did not misspeak. Despite the offbeat storyline, the film is pulling a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low of 5 to 10. And a mix of sun and clouds for your Friday afternoon, a high in the mid-20s. Warmer for the weekend and a partly sunny sky, high in the upper 30s for Saturday, mid-40s for Sunday. Currently 21 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Community Stories Junior. I'm speaking with Mr. Benjamin Peters, the technology education teacher with the Nakusa School District. We're talking about the CAD Fab Lab they have at Alexander Middle School, where this year students work with their own 3D printer every day to design and print products. Mr. Peters shares with me the excitement students bring to the classroom and how they are starting to and eventually will collaborate together on projects in class.
You're starting this class with sixth graders that actually have the 3D printers. What do you hope to accomplish starting with students that young?
It's actually really exciting to see the sixth graders start to use the 3D printers because they're extremely enthusiastic when coming into the program because they see from previous years of the program, for example, the fifth graders last year were very excited to come here as sixth graders because they saw the production that we've been doing all last year. And so they had this enthusiasm that drives them to design faster and design more interesting concepts because we're stimulating a culture here of design, iteration, and creativity in the entire district. As a part of the program, we've also installed a 3D printer in the elementary school where the staff there will produce products and projects to showcase the capabilities of the printer. The students don't use that printer directly, but it encourages them to think forward to when they can join the tech ed program in sixth grade and create their own projects.
I talked with the sixth graders first about their expectations in this new classroom.
Before you started this class this year, what did you think it was going to be like?
I thought it was going to be like teaching us how to use computers.
I thought what she thought, and also I just think I didn't even expect those 3D printers. I just thought it'd be like around tech.
I thought that was gonna be pretty boring.
Have you changed your opinion?
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. It's fun seeing like what you create because like different classes create different things, and it's just fun.
I thought it was gonna be boring too, but when I got to learn about it when we were getting introduced into the stuff, I actually got to get a little more about what 3D printing was about.
I would have thought that, like, tech ed would be, like, with computers, and, like, I thought that it would be, like, you had to make this thing, and then you had to do more than one in, like, under a little bit of time.
I would think it would be cool because even if my dad has a 3D printer, I like to 3D print stuff. And before I knew that tech ed was 3D printing, I just thought it was computer work just constantly. So, yeah.
I thought it was going to be, like, boring or whatever. But now it's, like, really fun just watching it print.
Back to my conversation with Mr. Benjamin Peters.
So now the project that you had them where they were creating these for the businesses that you've partnered with, that was last year. Do you see, let's say, increase in what students are able to do with, since you have the one-to-one this year, do you expect that assignment to be more expanded this year, include more businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that students tend to design from what they know. So if they have a parent or they know of a parent working at a local business, they'll generally ask me permission to make something for that business specifically, even if they're not based in Nakusa. So that's highly encouraged here. The one-to-one printing has allowed us to open our design landscape to more collaborative projects between students. So since they're able to produce on two printers or 20 printers simultaneously, students can very easily visualize how parts will go together. For example, one student will print a ball bearing, and the other one will print a wheel for it to go inside of. And they can print them simultaneously. When they're both done, they'll assemble them in the classroom. And that kind of collaborative synergy is all part of what it means to be an engineer or a designer in the field, working with people even across the world on similar types of equipment and having those parts come together.
The 7th and 8th graders are just starting an introduction to working on collaborative projects. I asked them to share their thoughts on what it would be like to work on a project with another student or together as a group.
We could both generate ideas, and then so we could work separately for maybe 5 minutes, and then we could come back together and like view our ideas together, and we can come up with like a design that we like together, and we could like establish it that way.
So if the sign was bigger than what you could print on your printer, do you think maybe you could do it in two pieces and print it in two printers?
Honestly, I don't really think so, because the printers that we use aren't that big, but you could probably print different parts, and depends on how like big they are and how much space you can use, because there's only like a little square there. So it would depend on how big your plate is and how tall you're going to make it.
Depending on what it is, I would probably take it apart, see how everything works, and then take that into Tinkercad and take it from there. Depending on how many parts you would have to print, maybe they could print one part and I could print the other.
Do you work together with other students in class yet?
Yes. I mean, sometimes, but I've only worked with like four, so, I mean, with this, I would say I would need help from another student if they knew how. But, yeah.
When you work with another student, how do you work with them?
I help them with whatever they need and try to get them good grades.
And one of us would make this part, and the other would make this, like a block thing.
You could both work on Tinkercad and then compare the models.
Each person does like a certain amount of parts. Like if there's like two or three parts, then someone do two, and then the other person does one. Or like if it's two, then one and one.
Well, one person could build something, and the other person can build something, and then we can like try making it go together.
If we're working as a whole class, we'll usually just go up to the whiteboard and he'll tell us what to do, and we'll all think of something, and then we all just write down our ideas on the board.
The creations that the kids come up with, they're always amazing me, because they have a really interesting perspective towards design. For example, creating a phone stand that looks like an elephant, or creating a calendar that's on the surface of a sphere. These are projects that the students design themselves and are able to create physical prototypes in a single class period. Being in a room of young designers just learning how to create is exciting for me, and we're able to see some results even in the short period of time we've been running the program here. We have some students who are thinking about careers in design, careers in engineering, technical careers, or even using CAD to lay out a bedroom or to arrange a shelf virtually before they go in to do it physically. It allows the abstraction of design to happen in the digital domain before they have to approach it in the physical one, which saves a lot of time.
Well, thank you for sitting down with me today, Benjamin.
You're welcome.
Stick around. Tale Time is up next. What's Kevin the Cat up to now?
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're here, and it's tale time. In the previous chapter, Kevin explored most of his new home and is now much more comfortable with it and his human, Ron. At the end of Chapter 2, Kevin was wondering about a door in the dining room that Ron never left open. Let's see what happens next. Chapter 3. Kevin the Cat Finds an Open Door. Kevin woke up early one morning to the soft silence of an empty house. Ron had left before dawn, as he often did, leaving Kevin to enjoy the last bit of warmth in his cozy bed. Kevin stretched luxuriously, his black and white fur shimmering in the dim morning light. His amber eyes, still heavy with sleep, blinked open as he looked around the quiet house. Ron's early morning departures had become a familiar routine, but Kevin always wondered where Ron went so early and why he didn't stay home more often. With a whole day to himself, Kevin pondered how to fill the time. His favorite perch was the top of the cat tree by the living room window, where he could keep an eye on the neighborhood's daily goings-on. He loved watching the birds that flitted back and forth to the feeder Ron had placed just outside the window. Sometimes Kevin wondered if Ron had set up the feeder more for the birds or for his enjoyment. Those little feathery creatures with their bright colors and constant chatter fascinated Kevin. He liked to imagine that they might be friendly, although he wasn't quite sure what he would do if he ever met one face to face. There was also the big German Shepherd who passed by every day with his human. Kevin was intrigued by the dog. The Shepherd seemed confident and strong, but his wagging tail and eager eyes hinted at a playful nature. Once or twice, the big dog had slipped free from his human, darting down the street with joyful abandon. Kevin imagined it would be fun to play with such a large creature, even if the idea of going outside was still too daunting for him. Today, however, the street was unusually quiet. No birds flitted at the feeder, and the Shepherd hadn't made his daily appearance. With nothing to watch, Kevin decided it was time to explore the house. He hopped down from his perch and sauntered through the living room. After giving the room a quick sniff, he ventured behind the couch to see if anything new had appeared since his last inspection. It was just as he had left it, dark, quiet, and cozy. Kevin loved the little hideaway behind the couch, especially when he needed a peaceful spot to retreat to. Next, Kevin checked out his favorite cardboard box at the end of the couch. The box was a perfect size for him to curl up in, with its flaps creating a secret entrance he could peek through while spying on the world. Satisfied that the living room was as it should be, Kevin moved on to the hallway and the bathroom. Everything seemed normal, no surprises anywhere. That was, until Kevin trotted into the dining room. He paused, ears twitching with curiosity. Something was different. The door that was always firmly closed was now slightly ajar. Kevin's whiskers quivered with excitement. The door was usually off limits. Ron made sure it was tightly shut every time he left the house. What lay beyond it had been a mystery that teased Kevin's natural feline curiosity every day. Today, it seemed that mystery was within reach. Kevin padded over to the door, his nails tapping softly on the hard floor. He stuck his nose into the crack and took a cautious sniff. The air from beyond the door felt cool and carried a faint smell of dust and dampness. He pawed at the door gently, trying to nudge it open. It took a few attempts, first a push, then a harder shove, before the door creaked open just wide enough for Kevin to slip through. The sight beyond was nothing like the rest of the house. It was dark, with no lights to guide him. But Kevin's sharp eyes quickly adjusted. As he crept forward, he noticed that the floor dropped away into what seemed like a deep, shadowy pit. He peered closer and realized it wasn't a pit at all. It was a staircase leading down. Kevin's tail twitched with curiosity. He'd never encountered many stairs before. Every other room in the house was mostly on the same level, but now it seemed there was a whole world hidden beneath his feet, waiting to be explored. Kevin gathered his courage, ruffled his whiskers, and cautiously began his descent. The steps creaked softly under his weight, and the further he went, the more his eyes adjusted to the dim light filtering from above. The cool air brushed against his fur as he reached the bottom and stepped onto a smooth, cold cement floor. The texture was different from the wooden floors upstairs, sending a shiver up his paws. He sniffed the air again, checking for any signs of life. To his relief, there were no other cats around. Kevin had grown wary of other cats since his encounters with the wild ones during his time lost on the streets. The basement, as he now realized this space was, seemed entirely his. He took a deep breath, his confidence growing as he began to explore. The basement was vast, much larger than any room upstairs. Kevin guessed that the living room and the dining room were probably right above him. As he padded across the room, he noticed how his nails made a different, sharper sound on the cement floor compared to the hardwood upstairs. It was a new sensation, one he found both strange and exciting. There were shelves lining two of the walls, cluttered with boxes and mysterious objects covered in a thick layer of dust. Kevin approached the nearest shelf and hopped up to investigate. He found strange kitchen appliances, stacks of old glasses, and boxes he couldn't quite open. The dust tickled his nose, making him sneeze with a sudden loud achoo! Startled, Kevin jumped down, shaking his head as the dust settled back onto the floor. In the center of the room was a pile of what appeared to be random objects thrown together haphazardly. Kevin approached with caution. As he sniffed around, he discovered something peculiar. A tree in a box. But this tree wasn't like the ones outside. It was fake, with stiff branches that poked out awkwardly from the box. Nearby, he found more of the same tree branches stuffed into bags. He nosed around the pile and found colorful balls with shiny hooks attached to them. Some were hard and smooth like glass, while others were soft enough for his claws to sink into. Kevin's attention was drawn to a tangled mess of strings lying in one of the bags. They were dotted with tiny bumps and had vibrant colors peeking through the tangles. He dragged the mess out onto the floor, watching in fascination as multicolored lights shimmered under the dim light. Reds, blues, greens, and yellows. It was a rainbow of colors unlike anything he'd seen before. As he continued his exploration, Kevin stumbled upon something that made him jump back in surprise. A tiny human figure. It was smaller than him and eerily lifelike, but it didn't move or speak like real humans did. The figure was dressed in white with a round halo on its head. Kevin tilted his head in confusion. What was this strange creature doing in his house? After thoroughly investigating every corner of the basement, Kevin's stomach reminded him it was time to eat. He climbed the stairs, leaving the mysterious pile of decorations behind. After a satisfying meal, he curled up in his favorite cardboard box for a well-deserved nap. The day's adventures had worn him out, and he drifted into a deep sleep. Kevin awoke to the familiar sound of the front door opening. Ron was home. Kevin sprang to his feet and rushed to greet him in the entryway. As Ron bent down to take off his boots, Kevin rubbed against his legs, purring loudly. But then Ron noticed something unusual. The basement door was wide open, and Kevin's fur was covered in dust and cobwebs.
"Kevin," Ron exclaimed in surprise, "did you explore the basement today? How did you get the door open?" Ron walked over to the basement and took a peek inside. When he saw the mess Kevin had made, he let out a laugh. "Kevin, it looks like you're ready to start decorating for Christmas. I haven't done that in years." Ron shook his head with amusement as he began bringing the pile of decorations upstairs. He carefully set up the tree in the living room. He placed the ornaments on the branches after winding the string of lights around the tree. The little angel figure, still in her white dress, was gently placed on the very top.
"It's a good thing you didn't discover the basement sooner," Ron chuckled. "The neighbors will be surprised to see the decorations up, but at least it's after Thanksgiving." Later that evening, as they settled down on the couch, Ron couldn't stop laughing while he brushed the remaining dust out of Kevin's fur. "You had a busy day of exploring, huh, my little buddy and pal?" he said with a smile. "And you managed to make me decorate for Christmas this year." Kevin purred in response, snuggling closer to his favorite human, the Christmas tree twinkling with holiday cheer in the corner. The basement had been an exciting new world to discover, but the best part of his day was always ending it next to Ron. As he drifted off to sleep, Kevin felt a little braver, a little more confident in his new home. Tomorrow would bring more adventures, and he couldn't wait to see what other mysteries his house might hold. Thank you for joining us for Community Stories Junior. I'm your host, Melissa Kay. Join us again next week for more stories from young people in your community.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic.